Hello, I'm Gary Preston from Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is Romans the Journey. And what is that journey? Well, it's a journey from the law of Moses to the grace of Jesus Christ. This Romans the Journey is a discipleship program. Today we're going to be starting in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, and this is lesson number 7. I might read from verse 14, I think. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. So he's going to preach the gospel to them. So that verse 15 is pretty straightforward. Let's go to my notes there and we will go through them. As this verse above is straightforward, I'll take the opportunity to expand on my commentary. That's at Romans 1:11, which we already looked at in one of the earlier lessons. There are at least 7 items or points that we use to rightly divide the word of truth, which are, and I'm going to list off 7 things that we use. Now, it's not limited to this. This is not the ultimate, you know, that I've just written down 7 things. But the number one way that we rightly divide the word of truth is to use that's God's true nature and character. Number one, God's true nature and character is the filter we use, or the tool we use, to rightly divide the word of truth. The way it works is when we hear the word of God, or when we read the word of God, we filter the word that we're hearing or reading through the true nature and character of God that we know intimately. And how do you know the true nature and character of God? Through the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That's one in identity, not in quantity. You know, the Father, the Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are 3 persons in one. One in identity. They are the same. That's what that means. Okay, point number 2 to rightly dividing the word of truth is to have an overview of the book of the Bible that you're reading. For example, Romans. Romans that we're studying now reveals the journey, start to finish, goals and destination. And we've talked about that many, many times. And I've got a note here to myself, Gary, by way of example. Explain the journey in Romans. Well, here's my explanation. The journey in Romans is a journey from the law of Moses to the grace of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the audience in the book of Romans were heavily influenced by the law of Moses. In fact, in chapter 7 of Romans, Paul says, I speak to them who know the law. He's not talking about a casual knowledge of the law like we might have. He's talking about people who have an intimate knowledge of the law of Moses, right? Point 3 to being able to rightly divide the word of truth is to know the author's credentials and hopefully his or her methodology of ministry. Paul's methodology of ministry is provided in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 22. And, you know, I could go into a detailed explanation of this, but that's already been covered in the first 6 lessons. This is lesson number 7. So if you're just jumping in here, hey, you need to go back and have a look at the other lessons and have a listen to them. They're only 10 minutes each. The audience, who are they? Are they born again Christians? If not, where do they fit? Which dispensation are they under? Are they under the law of Moses or where? Why is this important? Because we're trying to find out whether what we're reading applies to us. So you need to know who the author is, but you need to know who his audience is. What dispensation are they under? Because Paul puts himself in the shoes of his audience. That's what his method of ministry is, his methodology for ministry. He puts himself in the shoes of his audience and he ministers to them. He meets them where they're at, in other words. Now you've got to know whether you're where they're at. Does this apply to you? See? So this is how to rightly divide the word of truth. The fifth point, Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is a decision. It's a decision to walk in the spirit. And as we go on here, it'll be explained a little in more detail. Point six, 1 John 4:1, test all spirits. Right, test all spirits. So we're told to do these things. If you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, then you need to be able to do these things, and you need to do them as you're told to do in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:10, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. It's not the spirit of discernment. It's discerning of spirits. Right? Discerning of spirits. Right? And I've got written down here, let me explain points 5 to 7. Point five, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is a decision, not a process. The following verse, Ephesians 4:24, confirms this to be true. And that verse says, and that ye put on the new man, right, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. However, if more convincing is necessary, then read the verses that precede verse 23. To be renewed in the spirit of mind is an attitude. It's a decision to walk in the spirit 24/7, whereas Romans 12:2 is a process. Romans 12:2 tells us that we need to have our mind transformed by the word of God. Right, that is a process, right? But to walk in the spirit is a decision. Though these two verses are entirely different, in the minds of some believers, they blend into one. However, one is a decision and the other is a process. Point six, expanding on that, 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do you mean to say we've got to do that? Well, the Bible's telling us, yes, we've got to do that. If you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, then you need to test the spirits. Hereby, this is verse 2, hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. 1 John 4:1-3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, it's saying to you to try the spirits. Who are these spirits? Well, every man and every woman on the face of the earth are a spirit. Yes, they have a soul, and yes, they live in a body, but they are spirits. It's saying, try the spirits, right? Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And how do you know them? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Got that? Verse 3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it was to come, that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So we are told to test the spirits or try the spirits. So how do we do that? Well, yes, we could talk to them and see if we can get them to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Remembering that Jesus Christ has come in our flesh. Ponder that. It's huge. So in other words, we could talk to the spirit or talk to the person, see if we can get them to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, right? Or there's another way of doing it. We can operate in the discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, then I put it to you that you need to be operating in the gifts. Paul says in another place, he says, you know, desire the best gifts. They're available to everybody. Yes, it says the Holy Spirit wills, but ask. To do this, we need to be walking in the Spirit. Hence, Ephesians 4:23 is applicable. Note, this is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and its name is discerning of spirits, not, as we so often hear, the spirit of discernment. That's just a busybody. It's not a gift of the Spirit. It's called the discerning of spirits. If you are born again, then you are in the Spirit, but not necessarily walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. And that is a decision. Ephesians 4:23. And this ends lesson number 7 in Romans the Journey. And I will see you at lesson number 8 very shortly. God bless.